Ой, чё он спирачи? Ты шоу? А по часть того, чё он спирачи, корец? Ой, я урос, адам той доброум.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Conspiracy the Show. I'm Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host today, Olivia Hydar, back in the cut.
Hi, hello. It's me, back in the cut again.
Back in the trap. Olivia, how's it going?
Oh, you know, things are great, I think, in general, all around. You know, we got armed loonies storming the Capitol. We still have a pandemic that our government isn't doing anything about. So I'd say 10 out of 10 so far.
Yeah. What a time to be alive. Here I sit hosting a conspiracy podcast and cheering for a militarized police force to put down the citizenry. Strange times. Also joining us, special guest Sliceberg Slim, who is my co-host on Pod 6, a podcast about the films of Spike Lee and a music producer. Yeah. Sliceberg, how's it going?
What's going on, Adam? Pretty good. Just I'm actually curious, where was all this 5G technology you promised that was going to fuck up crowds? No one deployed it.
Exactly.
I was waiting for the 5G lasers.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that, you know, the DC cops, they used up all their tear gas and their rubber bullets and riot control gear last summer. So they just ran out. They just didn't have any left for these people who were storming the Capitol.
That is a good question, though. I do want to know where that active denial system is. Like, of all the places you could have launched it.
Yeah.
Maybe just a BLM. Like Yemen.
What's that?
Absolutely. It's in the BLM only locker. Yeah. That's why they couldn't get into it. There was the key would only open if it's for BLM. That's it.
Sliceberg, you're in Baltimore, which is like, that's not DC, but it's not far from DC.
Yeah, I'm pretty much near all the fuckery. Yeah.
How's it feel to be in the heart of it? Like, I feel like we're all going to be in the heart of it at some point.
Yeah.
Very soon, once this becomes a nationwide thing. But yeah, what were your thoughts being that close to it as it was unraveling?
It's weird because Baltimore has a kind of almost a strained relationship with DC. As far as like I guess entertainment life or just kind of like a lot of people from Baltimore go to DC to party, but not the other way around. So it's like this might be controversial, but even though we have the DMV, which is DC, Maryland, Virginia, we're not as close as people think we are. As far as like, we may be close geographically, but we are so different.
Yeah, like I did a show in Baltimore a few years ago, and I stayed with my friend Nicole, who lives in DC. And I was like, oh, well, this is going to be a quick drive to and from the club. No, it was still like an hour. Which
it's pretty far.
That's geographically far enough for things to be very, very different. And they did both seem like very different places.
Oh yeah.
For a lot of reasons.
I'm not happy being close to it. Now that this shit's happened, I'm definitely not happy being close to DC. But I mean, if some shit goes down, maybe I'll get wiped out quick. I don't know.
That's all we can ever hope for, any of us.
Yeah.
I think that's everyone's dream apocalypse scenario. Unless you're one of these maniacs.
First wave.
Yeah.
Yeah. First wave.
Unless you're one of these maniacs who fantasizes about toughing it out in a basement for 4 years. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah. but couldn't stand being in their apartment for a month.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Without getting
real survivalists. Yep.
Yeah. You know the thing we're talking about is important because we didn't really even have to say what we're talking about. Like,
it's one of those weeks.
Yeah, everyone knows we're obviously talking about a bunch
of
QAnon maniacs storming the Washington Capitol, the capital of the government. And what we're specifically talking about is I can't help but feel like not just with QAnon and in recent years, but I'm starting to get the sense that white nationalists or I think it's more like anti-government extremists, like right-wing anti-government types, have let themselves get kind of honeypotted by the internet. And I feel like QAnon is kind of the culmination of that. And I described it on the Unpops podcast that went up yesterday as kind of like the mass suicide moment for a death cult, where they finally decide, all right, we're going to pull the trigger on that thing that is going to lead us to our salvation. And then you do it, and oh no, the police are shooting us in the chest. Not as many of us as they should, but we are being shot at, and the government is not being overturned. What now?
Yeah, and I do think it's important to draw a distinction early on between, because I think that this is a kind of factionalism that kind of gets lost in the national discussion, where we're talking about anti-government radical people, like the people who hate the federal government particularly, whereas that is not, I don't think, a representative of the entirety of the far right or white nationalist movement,
right?
Because a lot of them, even if they profess small government goals or whatever, a lot of them are totally in favor of the government as long as it's doing what they want and hurting who they want. Whereas there is definitely also a strain of people who are just flat out totally anti-federal government militia types.
Right. And I want to make it clear that I'm not giving the government credit for anything here. Like, I'm definitely not saying the American government is some kind of savior that is going to cure us of the ills of white nationalism and then stop at that. I think the government just wants to get rid of dissent on both sides.
Sure.
So they just happen to be the first side to strike that they...
Yeah.
Oh,
do we have any doubt that if Black Lives Matter protesters did try to breach the Capitol, that...
I took exactly what happened.
Oh, well, yeah. It would have been worse. Right. It would have been insane. Like, I know that's a cliche now at this point to talk about, like, if it were Black Lives Matter doing this, like, how the shoe would be on the other foot. But for real, like, we saw how they reacted to generally very peaceful protests that only resulted in small business damage and that sort of thing. Like, we saw they reacted to that. If Black Lives Matter protesters tried to take the fucking Capitol building, they would have drone strike people. Like, there would have been drones in the air for months.
Right. But I think, like, what happened over the summer just emboldened the people who stormed the Capitol even more, because they have somehow conflated a peaceful protest, which, here's the thing. If you're one of these people on the right who's like, Black Lives Matter, they rioted and they damaged buildings. One, like I said on the pod yesterday also, if you equate an AutoZone being burned down with the Capitol being stormed, you're just dumb. Like, it's not
slightly
that you're
different.
It's not just that you're wrong, it's that you're dumb. Also, whenever there was violence during those Black Lives Matter protests, what was the story every time? The police started it. The police, for some reason, didn't find it in their hearts to start it this time.
Yeah.
And it's
shocker. Can I say something?
No, this is not that kind of podcast. Yeah, of course.
Damn it.
Go for it.
From a Black perspective, let me oversimplify it. It's almost like, let's say America is the parent. Mm-hmm. Black people are the ill-treated Black child, and then you have the spoiled white child, and the white child sit back and watch the Black child pretty much to what they think throw tantrums about not being treated fairly. Then the white perfect white child goes out and does something. Now the Black child looking back like, now how are you going to punish this white child like how you punish us? So Black people right now really kind of watching like how this kind of unfolds. But we already know how it is, but now the world will see this is how America operates. It's really embarrassing. The whole world sees it's like it's not a good look.
No, and it really is. It was one of those things that really, I think, laid bare for a lot of people who were maybe in really deep denial, kind of laid bare all of the foundational lies of this country that we have been brought up on for decades and decades. Really kind of exposed a lot of that for what it was, which is, you know, I guess if there's any good outcome, that's one of it. But I mean, people are still in denial. Like, I'm not an idiot, but, like, you know, it's at least nice to have it out in the open a little bit.
But the world now sees how dirty laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I also want to add, I obviously have, like, everything I'm going to say here is a hunch. Like, I don't have any proof of any of this.
No hard evidence.
But here's the thing.
FBI files.
If you can find it in your heart to believe only liberal elites are involved in child sex trafficking, you can let me do some theater of the mind here with your theory also. Sure. Like, come on. And yeah, like, what I think is that white nationalists are about to walk into a trap. I think they already did, and I think it's going to happen a lot. Like, if we know anything about the United States, we know we're good at putting down a movement. And if you think we're not, ask the Black Panthers. It's not like we had, like, one or two skirmishes with the Black Panthers and things, you know, just magically went back to how they were before. Like, that was a long, extended effort that we spent a lot of resources on. And I think the first thing I want to talk about in regards to all this is this idea that there are two sides to the American government. I don't think that's actually true. Like, we get to vote for two sides, and one side or the other feels a little better about the country, depending on if their side is in office. But the American government has always kind of had the same goal. Like, we have one goal, at least since, like, the 80s, maybe? Like, well, before that, way back to the 1900s, like, our goal is protecting the corporate interests that rule our government.
Yeah.
That's the outside influence on our government that we should be most worried about. It's probably the foundational crisis in this country right now, is the degree to which we kowtow to corporate America. And that's always kind of been the thing. So I feel like the idea that the American government would want to align with Trump supporters is kind of silly, because you have to think about what Trump support, like, all the Trump supporters who claim they didn't vote because they're super duper racist. What did they say they voted on? Trade and foreign policy. Sanders and Trump were very similar when it came to trade and foreign policy. It's just everything else they were radically different about. And, like, you even saw some of that with Trump. Like, we want to think he really wants war with Iran, but when it came down to it, he just assassinated one guy, and then John Bolton left because we wouldn't drop any bombs on Iran.
Yeah, like, Trump's whole hawkishness, I mean, I like, his supposed hawkishness has always been kind of overstated. I think the danger of him as a commander in chief is more that he is an impulsive idiot who will just have, there's always the chance that he'll just do something stupid that he feels like he wants to do at that time, and that would cause an international incident more than him actually engaging our military overseas in, like, a tactical maneuver, which has been pretty low, especially compared to our past two administrations.
Yeah, he has, like, not engaged us in a bunch of wars. And here's the thing. Yeah. Since when does America love that? Like, and I'm not talking about us. I'm not talking about me and you and Sliceberg and the people listening to this podcast. I mean the American government. Like, since when do we not want to be at war? We spend so much money on defense, and the people who get that money and spend that money and the corporations that help us fight those wars, they're not just going to put their fucking hands up because Trump is in office. If you voted for Trump, you have to realize it's not going to be that easy. Like, what American president has ever come in and really changed things without, like, getting shot in the head like JFK?
Yeah.
And even he didn't change, like, a ton.
Yeah. Like, Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act into law. So I think that's, you have at least understand that's the point of reference I'm working from, which is, I don't really believe there are two distinct sides to the American government that both want radically different things.
Yeah. I think it's a fair assessment to say that we have a far right party in this country, in the Republicans, and we have a conservative party in the Democrats that has a burgeoning progressive wing, but still basically serving the same masters just through a less extremist lens, fulfilling the same basic goal of the Republicans of days past before they kind of went off the cliff.
Right. And the other thing you have to keep in mind that people on the far right especially are super afraid of is government intrusion into people's lives. And if you think the American government's going to give that shit up, you must have missed 9/11. Like, yeah. We seize every opportunity to intrude into average citizens' lives. Like, the FBI can look up your browser history without a warrant now.
Oh, yeah.
We know the NSA can just intercept phone calls. Like, we know all the things these people are capable of, and they're doing it. So they're not going to, like, let Trump and his supporters come in office and be like, okay, yeah, you got to get rid of all that. We can't be getting into people's lives in this manner. There's no fucking way.
But, and again, this kind of goes back to what I was saying about the difference between the anti-government types and a lot of the other guys is I think there's a large group of them that don't care that the government is spying on people because they think that the government likes them and they're just spying on the people that they don't like and getting them for things and not going after the Trump supporters and that sort of people.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to the naivety of Trump supporters.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyone in this country who thinks the American government is really working in their favor, you're rich. Right. If you're not rich, there is absolutely no way you should feel that way. Like, there's no evidence that proves it. Like, there's nothing to suggest that the American government really has the best interest of the little guy in mind. We are beholden to corporations and profits.
The only evidence that they want or need is that the government hurts people that they hate. And that's good. That's close enough to helping them for them. Like that's, you know, the best that they can hope for.
What changes now? Now that they see, actually, I'm a little concerned about some of the police who helped during the situation. Yeah. Now, those are the ones who, like, if this happens again, where do they stand? Now that we know that the police are divided, maybe some are against it, maybe a couple, but a lot might have been in favor of what happened.
Yeah.
Hence why they helped a little bit.
Yeah, that's been my concern forever and ever. Like, every time I've said Trump won't leave office peacefully, I've followed it up by saying we're going to hit a point where we have to hope the police and the military do the right thing. And I feel like a lot of Trump supporters, and especially these QAnon idiots who stormed the Capitol, have it in their head that a really significant portion of the military and police are on their side. And I feel like they're wrong. I feel like they're being set up to test that theory, because you're already like, is the FBI not arresting people? Like, there are people already on no-fly lists. There's video on Twitter of a guy crying in the airport because all he did was storm the Capitol, and now they're calling him a terrorist and he can't fly. It's like, you dumbass.
Getting a small taste of what it's been like to be an Arab since 9/11, basically. Wow.
And so even if the police didn't shoot as many people as we wish, this isn't going well for the people who did it.
But it's also not going as poorly as it could have.
True. I mean, enough to them not to try again, or is this enough to stop?
Yeah,
them?
That's the thing. I think if anything, they feel emboldened by this.
And that's the thing. I think that big confrontation is what the government wants. And that's kind of like the whole point of this, because if you think about it in the big picture sense, one, this is a problem we've been dealing with, I mean, forever, but at least like in the public eye since the early 90s, which that's 30 plus years that we've had.
So what, let them think they won a little, like, let them think this is a small victory for now?
Kinda.
So they can do it again if we can crack down harder.
Because what's happening now? We went from a summer of people on the left being like, why can't the cops stop shooting people? And now, even though they're very different things, now a lot of us are like, why didn't the cops shoot more people?
Yeah, and I've so seen this, a lot of that.
But I feel like if this happens again, if you're the government and you want to draw these anti-government types out, these people who think they are bold enough and armed enough to actually take on the federal government, you got to let them try it once. You got to let them try it once, and you got to shoot one of them once just to let them know. And now they think, well, we got in and only one of us died, and like most of the casualties were on their side. So
right. So
we like can
say, I'm sorry, like if in their mind, if this is a war, they only lost like you said, maybe one or two of their soldiers. So this was kind of a success on their mind, on their part. So let's go bigger next time.
There were people quoted on the way out walking past cops saying, "You didn't take it, we gave it back." Wow. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of true, yeah, because you're a bunch of remote control sheep with, yeah, Trump's finger on the button. And he put out a video and said, go home. So you went home like a bunch of bootlicking government idiots.
That is, yeah, true. They did just fully go home. It is. It's just so just as a quick sidebar, I don't want to derail anything, but it is extremely funny and telling to me that they had no plan for once they got inside the building. Like, they didn't do anything. They just kind of took selfies.
That's actually,
and played pranks.
That's actually not, it seems like that's not entirely true, because there were the people with the zip ties, like they found bombs. Well,
yeah. I think they had ideas,
right,
of things that they wanted to do, but like, he didn't use those zip ties really. Like, you know, like they could have easily taken hostages even if they weren't Congress people. They could have easily made demands even if they were just holding the room, but they didn't. They don't have demands because they don't have any needs. They don't, right, really have any, yeah, wants or actual like policy. They just wanted to fuck around.
It felt like a video game. Like, it felt once they get in, the game was over and they won.
Yes. Yeah.
I got in the castle. It's over.
Yeah.
I did hear at one point that when that first crowd went in, if they went a different way, they would have gotten into the Senate chamber while people were there. And then we have no, really, idea. But
yeah,
as Chet Wild pointed out on the Unpops podcast this week, for some reason they got in the Capitol and then started following all the velvet ropes and shit. It's like, you can take, well, you just bash through the police. Why don't you just take the velvet ropes down and spread out a little bit?
You gotta respect the velvet rope. You gotta respect the rope.
Because they're morons who have no like agency. They just do what they're told.
Yeah, it's
just,
they're naive.
Did Trump say, "Watch the rope"? Don't touch the velvet rope.
Yeah, maybe it says like Trump Enterprises on it or something.
The rope is implied authority.
Yes.
Like, they just follow it because they are used to following authority. It's just so, like, they did that. There was also that one of the most striking videos of the whole time that I found so fascinating was the video of the singular Capitol Hill cop holding a stairwell as like a whole mob of the guys who eventually made it into the Senate chambers, like, kind of slowly charged him. But like, it was just one guy. They could have just gone around him, or he could have like shot them, but he didn't do that. And they didn't do it. It was just a very odd standoff that really, it was just like, he didn't want to escalate on his side for some reason, because now cops don't like to escalate. And then they were just like so cowed by his authority while also still wanting to make their stand. It was just very fascinating. I don't really have anywhere I'm going with it. I just found that to be such a interesting video.
For one, are we sure that guy had a gun? I don't know if all the Capitol Police had guns, because he kept pulling a baton. Like, if he had a gun, I feel, because he pulled a baton and didn't hit him. Like, if you're going to pull a weapon and not use it, you pull your gun, obviously.
Unless you don't have any intention to shoot, which is good gun safety.
Yeah, but then you're being a shitty cop. Like, at that point,
he is a shitty cop. We have factual video evidence that he is a shitty cop.
But I think that moment also kind of speaks to the feeling I think a lot of people in that Capitol had, were, are we really doing this?
Yeah.
Like, is this actually working?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think they planned on getting in.
No.
I got an idea here.
Okay.
We give it 3 months, open the Capitol back up, put velvet ropes outside with signs that say, "Rioters, enter here," and have ropes and signs throughout the Capitol directing them to one room, because they're going to follow it. Just have a bunch of soldiers in there with guns ready when they go into this room. That's just... They're going to follow the direction. Just have the little signs and shit. They'll go right in and bam.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might work. I mean, yeah, people are real worried about security at Biden's inauguration, but I think maybe velvet ropes might be the, just put some velvet ropes up around Biden and no one will get close to him.
Yeah. Just put up a red carpet that leads to one of those machine gun mounted Nissans that explode after they kill their target. Like,
oh my God. Yeah.
Like Jesus. Israel used to take out that Iranian nuclear scientist. It's one of my favorite stories of 2020.
That was,
not that he died.
Was wild.
Like that was like assassination is bad, yeah. But oh man, to do it in that
car was insane.
Breaking Bad fashion. I love it.
Yeah.
So I actually think this, in my dream version of this, I think this is a plan that probably started as soon as the internet started. Because we had, like, if you flash back to the early 90s, two things happen right at the beginning of the decade. The internet becomes a thing that people can use. Like the first internet message boards were operational by like 89, 90. And immediately anti-government types start using the internet to spread their message. And it seems like that would be a downside for the government, but of course it's not. Because the internet reminder started as a government thing. Like that was a government network that the government used to keep people connected. Yeah. And then at one point, the government was just like, here you go. And we were all like, okay, we'll take it. This seems fun. And
from Al Gore, no less.
They gave them the tools to, you say pretty much they gave them the tools to do this, but just much.
I would argue.
They gave them the chemicals. Now they're building this, they built in what they thought they would build with the what we gave them. Pretty much.
Yeah, I would argue the government has been giving us the tools to spy on ourselves since at least this moment. Like once they were like, once they slid the internet across the table, we were done. Like from a surveillance standpoint, we were done.
Really, we never should have taken it. Like anything that's getting slid across the table like that, you know, it's shady. You don't want to take that. It's not worth it.
The craziest part is we went into it with this sense of, oh man, the internet. It's the Wild West, baby. There's no laws. You can get on there. You can do whatever you want. But the problem is that meant the government didn't really have any laws either.
Yeah, it took a while to figure that one out.
Like, we were so dumb about it. Like, even up to when Facebook was a thing, there were people, like, posting themselves, like, doing beer bongs at 3 a.m. before they have to go to work the next day. And they're like, well, you're fired now. You're being a shitty employee. And they're like, you can't look at my Facebook. It's like, everyone can. That's kind of the whole problem.
All right.
But also, like, it's cool that they can monitor people, but also they had to figure out, well, what about the
it
actual...
It is cool.
Well, it is. It's great. But I feel like they also had to figure out, well, how do we stop the information we don't want to be spread from spreading? You can't take on every incident by itself. And I think what happened, and I feel like there is actually some kind of like MK Ultra documentation to this effect. I feel like the government maybe kind of started the conspiracy theory industry that popped up in the early 90s, because then it works the same way as tabloids. The National Enquirer prints a bunch of bullshit stories, but sometimes their stories are real stories that people took to actual outlets, and those outlets were like, we can't fucking run this. We have advertisers to think about. And then the National Enquirer is like, we don't. And they'll fucking run it.
I read in notes you wrote, you sent me. That's pretty genius. I think I'm going to start making lies about myself like that. That way, none of it's true. I start saying all kinds of wild shit that I've never done. That way, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
You heard what about me? Did you hear it from the Washington Post? Then it's a conspiracy theory.
That is literally the Trump playbook. Like that is just tell as many lies as you possibly can. And then eventually people will start believing them.
It's actually a brilliant strategy. I know so many people who are very, very skeptical of our elected officials, but also they'll hear like a scandal mentioned and they'll be like, well, the government denied it. And it's like, well, yeah, the government denied it. They're not. Like, what evidence are you waiting on that isn't the evidence you've had presented to you already?
I hate that term when someone says someone did not. Like, has anyone ever said, you know what? I did kill that person. You got me. No one ever does that. Everyone always says, yeah, I didn't do that shit.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
And so, yeah, like we kind of had two choices when the internet started. We could either do that. We could either discredit anyone who breaks from the official government line as conspiracy theorists, or you do what China does and start cracking skulls if people Google the wrong thing. And that's not us. Like, we don't do that. We're good guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's similar to, I mean, you know, it's kind of the same playbook as the UFO, you know, Project Blue Book kind of denial things, which we've talked about in the podcast before. Like, it is, it, you know, they go out and they say, this isn't real, this isn't real. And then they put out a bunch of things like, you know, it's aliens, it's all this stuff, but really they're testing like experimental aircraft or some shit. And yeah, it's a classic tactic.
Yeah, there's a, God damn it, I always forget the name of the documentary, but we did an episode about it. It's about a guy named Richard Doty. Documentary is called Mirage Men. That was his, that was his actual job. When someone would, and this was like when people were doing it in magazines and shit. Like if someone presented information that they thought exposed a government plot or something the government was working on, if it was an actual thing the government wanted to cover up, they would send that guy out to be like, you're right. You don't know. You don't understand how right you are. You're so right. I'm going to give you more information that proves even more how right you are. And that would all be bullshit. And they would publish that and people would be like, you fucking liar. Like, no, how can we ever believe anything you ever say again? That was his whole job, was going out and doing that to people. So it's not a stretch to think the government would try to kind of put that same thing in place for the entire internet. And like the early 90s, that's also when conspiracy theories really started being not really a mainstream thing, but when they started becoming really popular. And so now if you're the government, you have conspiracy theories, you have the internet, it's a place to spread them. One thing you could do that I think they did do is you can put people into that community to also discredit that community. And one of the early examples of that, there's a conspiracy theorist named Bill Cooper, who was like, if I die, the Freemasons did it. And he got like shot and killed 2 years later. One of his early, like not early, but one of the things he always brought up was when Alex Jones first started surfacing, he was like, that guy is a government plant. That guy is here to make the rest of us look bad. And someday I'm going to do that Bill Hicks, Alex Jones episode of my dreams, because I feel like there's more to that theory than people give it credit for. But anyway.
Well, I do want to say, I think part of the difference, though, and I think something that does need to be said, is that I don't necessarily know that the government needed to even be involved in the creation of any of these conspiracy theories or anything, just due to the nature of the internet as a place where so many people can go and say whatever the fuck they want. I think they could just, you know, they can easily just rely on someone else saying that and letting that do it, letting other people do their job for them in that way.
I would agree with that if it weren't for George H.W. Bush, because one of the things that really sets the conspiracy theory crowd off is the New World Order. And the New World Order was a conspiracy theory that was limited to really militaristic, extremist right-wing groups, like anti-government groups, not even necessarily racists, but anti-government groups who were worried about the government encroaching on our freedoms. And it was limited to them at first. And then in the early 90s, George Bush gives this speech that has come to be known as the New World Order speech, where he's like, we're entering a new world order. And he's like hinting at all this like one world government shit. And it's,
wait, what year was that again?
That was 1990.
Now that same year, that's when hip hop started to go towards a lot of conscious rappers. That speech was like, that speech is in so many rap songs, especially a lot of Wu-Tang shit. Like they started to talk about, you know, new world order. It got into rap pretty quick, and that's a lot of information about that spread too pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's almost as if they kind of wanted to rile people up a little bit, because also 1990, the year stormfront.org goes online. It started as just like an internet bulletin board, but it has been online since 1990. So immediately the government had to be like, all right, well, they're using the internet, of course. Thank you. That's great. Now, how do we get them talking more?
Yeah.
George Bush gives a New World Order speech. And then Pat Robertson in 1991, the 700 Club guy, writes a book called The New World Order. That's how the religious right got, I think, involved in this. And he's like, look, Christians, the government wants to make you all communists. They want a one world government, a one world police force, and they're coming to take your guns. And so now the entire conspiracy crowd is like, shit, they're coming.
I just would like to say to any of our overlords who are monitoring this podcast that I think the one world government, new world order, that I think that sounds like a great idea. I'm 100% for it. Just one government. That's it. That's all we need. That'll be great. Go team. If that's what it is, go on. I'm for it.
Yeah, I think the New World Order and the Illuminati both at this point are American intelligence psyops meant to identify people who are prone to questioning the government.
Yeah, the Illuminati thing is just like, there's just no way. That one is just way too fantastical for it to be even close to real. It's just like, it's way too fun. Like, you can't really, there's no way that our actual ruling conspiracy is so much fun. There's not parties, there's not robes, there's not like, you know, secret handshakes and shit. That's just way too good of a time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it is true, I still want in. Like,
oh no, absolutely. Like I said, one world government, new world order, great idea.
I mean,
I'm for it.
If I get to be Illuminati, it's a great idea.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I get to be Illuminati,
if I could be at that table,
yeah,
yeah.
If I'm getting crushed under the thumb of UN tyranny, then no, I want no part of it.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I will never understand how the government convinced groups like this to use the internet. Like, how would you not be suspicious of that? Like, this is the part I can't explain.
I just think that the internet is just such a self-evidently powerful communications tool that almost any group of people who are spread out across the country or the globe are going to be tripping over themselves to want to use something like that, even if it's being monitored, even if they know it's like people know the internet is being monitored now and they still love using it. I use it every day, all the time. But like, and I know that it's got this deep, dark underbelly and that it's being monitored and shit, but like, it's such a powerful tool, or at least it could be, that I think that potential is attractive enough to even get like a super paranoid anti-government type involved.
Yeah, I feel that way about TikTok right now. I know so many people who are like, ban the Nazis, Jack. Also, check out my TikTok. It's like half of this was planned on TikTok.
I honestly, that was the big, like, I consider myself, unfortunately, fairly up to speed on what the nut job fascists on the internet are trying to do. And I was not aware of the massive push of fascists and right wingers on TikTok. I really was surprised by that.
Do you think they dance?
Yeah, I want to see them dance to like a Country Boy Can Survive. Yeah,
that's a requirement. They have to.
Yeah.
Fucking dance steps while saying the Holocaust isn't real. Jesus, this is weird.
All of their dances have 1488 steps.
Listening to Ace of Base.
Oh, no.
Oh, we're bringing it back.
It's a good pull.
Ace of Base.
Yeah, speaking of 1488 or whatever the stupid number is, one good thing that has come out of this Capitol riot is I have a phrase that I'm going to carry with me for probably all of 2021. Anytime I'm even minorly inconvenienced, this is my 1776. I love that so much. So many of them were like, this is my 1776. Like, no, it's not.
Wow.
No, not even close.
You're silly.
I wish it was. That would have been cool.
It's like, you motherfuckers are about to find out alien technology is real.
Yeah.
This is not yours. I feel like even Storm Area 51 is part of this, where people were like, because remember that? They were like, they can't shoot all of us at once.
Oh, yeah.
And then, right. But then the military was like, no, we absolutely can shoot all of you at once. I don't want you to be under a misunderstanding.
Wait, wait. That's a good point now. Now, wait. If they charged the Capitol and only one person was shot, what would happen if they charged Area 51? Would they get close as they got?
No, they
might be able to crack the secret for us. They can't shoot all of them.
I think the military has a much more vested interest in protecting one of its bases than in
more than a Capitol building.
Yes,
really?
Absolutely. I think they're very self-serving as an organization in general. I don't think they want anyone touching their toys.
Yeah.
The military is extremely suspicious in general.
More than the government, though.
Very sus.
Yeah, I feel like the government would absolutely sacrifice Mike Pence if it meant the world not yes. finding out we did something with that Nazi alien technology we got after World War II. Who knows? But
yeah, I mean, honestly, I think everything is pretty much on the table right now. Like, I think saying that anything is a certainty or a certainty to not happen is kind of foolish because things are crazy, very crazy right now.
A little bit.
So basically anything could conceivably happen.
A little crazy.
I mean, I would love if in the next week before Biden was tried to inaugurate. I can't say that he's going to be inaugurated. I just say they're going to try. But like before, I think if in the next week aliens should come, that would be great. If they just came and they're just like, we're going to just fuck you all over. We're doing the Stephen Hawking thing. We're just going to like wipe you all out. But we'll take it slow so you get to be scared. And that'll be the alien thing. It'd be great. I'd be for it.
It would be amazing. Yeah.
Again, aliens. If any aliens are listening, I just want to say I've always been a fan, always supported the alien cause. Always on board with whatever probing or abduction type plans that you have.
I'm an ally. I'm an ally.
Oh. Oh.
Right. So let's go back to what we were talking about. The New World Order speech happens. The New World Order book comes out. I want to remind everyone, George H.W. Bush used to be the head of the CIA, so he knows a thing or two about plots and plans and putting down groups that the government doesn't want to thrive. And then
that Bush family.
And not then good. the New World Order conspiracy involves a militarized police force or government descending on these people to take away their guns. So what do we do next? We start descending on these groups to take away their guns. First, Ruby Ridge, which that guy just was accused of selling like a sawed-off shotgun. And we killed half his family over it.
They did kind of overreact.
The government?
Well, both. I think both sides maybe, not to be a both sides kind of person, but I think they both kind of overreacted slightly to that whole situation.
I don't know. I don't know if you're right.
Maybe. I'm wrong often, so it's fine.
And then Waco happens. And here's the thing. I'm not a white nationalist, which neither were the people at Waco.
That's good.
But even I, when that happened and still now looking back on it, was like, that was a bit much. The government really, really acted up in that moment.
Yeah.
And so if I was noticing it, what do you think the white nationalists were thinking? And the anti-government types who had just been, they've just spent decades worrying about the New World Order. And now here comes George Bush to say New World Order. And now it's actually playing out in front of them. So I don't know if that was all intentional. Like, I don't know if Ruby Ridge and Waco were intentional, but we know what it caused. Like that's where a lot of these anti-government types who might have been a little more on the fence about it really got radicalized.
Yeah.
To the point that the Oklahoma City bombing happens, what is it, 2 years later? After Waco?
I think so.
Like one or 2 years later?
96?
And so, I think it was...
Yeah.
Or was it 94?
96 was Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Atlanta bombing. So 95?
Man, the 90s were crazy.
Every year was something.
They don't get credit enough, I think.
And we romanticize them so much.
Well, the economy was just so good.
Yeah.
That we just can't think about anything else.
That's right. True. So then, like, I know I'm kind of dragging this out. I'm going to speed through it a little bit. So now we're at this point in the mid-90s where we've got conspiracy theorists on one side, and that is where the anti-government groups are, and they're like, oh, spreading their talk online and just kind of doing it unabated for a few years. And then 9/11 happens. And I think that's the point where a lot of anti-government types became Republicans.
Yeah.
Because now our enemy wasn't communists, which I guarantee everyone pictured as like Ivan Drago. So like, at least they're white. Like once 9/11 happened, that's a whole other thing. And that's where you start seeing these like right-wing patriot types start aligning with Republicans instead. Yeah. So then what do you drop into the middle of that environment? Our first black president, and his middle name is Hussein. And with that, right-wing extremists go nuts. And here's the thing. People on the left spent 8 years going nuts under George Bush. We don't want to admit it or talk about it anymore. But by the end of those 8 years, we were like, Bush is going to put us in FEMA camps.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
Fair, though. Bush was definitely deserving of going crazy. He is every bit as awful or worse than Trump. So I think going crazy was a rational response to the Bush administration.
But I also think that's kind of what the government wants. Like, it's not like we've been getting more and more unified as a nation since 2000. Like,
no.
2000 in the Bush era is like when it really took off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then once Obama takes office, that's not going to make it better. And then near the end of Obama's run, like 8 years into everyone carrying around a phone that had a camera on it, magically in 2014, police killing black people becomes news. It's like that's been happening.
Like it was just since invented.
Since recorded history, that has been happening.
I'm like, no, that's right. The old formula.
Yeah.
You guys are just new fans
of
police brutality.
I've been playing this stuff. You're late.
And so 2014, which I did an Unpops recently about how it was the literal worst year in recent memory, 2020 included. But
it was a flashpoint.
2014, that's where Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter both start. And like, once that happens, we are, as a nation, for the most part, firmly on our teams. There's centrists who I think are actually the group the government cares about the most because they just want to be comfortable. Like,
right. There's status quo. That's what centrism is about, is the status quo. And that's what the government is trying to protect.
Right. And so you have the country divided basically into Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter. You drop Trump into the middle of that. And now he is the most polarizing president we've ever had. And so we have the two sides in place. How do you get them to come out? Well, for leftists, it's very simple. Just show people what the police already do.
Yeah.
You don't have to really rally anyone. Like there's no other efforts you have to get behind. Just show us those videos and people will respond. Right. Yeah. I mean, it took good 6 years before people really
It took
responded.
6 years and people still are wishy-washy about it.
Right.
Yeah.
But that gets that side of political dissent out into the streets. But how do you rile up those white nationalists and those anti-government types who feel a little more relaxed because Trump is in office? QAnon. QAnon is how you do that. And you do it by exploiting something fucking intelligence agencies have been exploiting forever, which is pedophilia. That is a tactic governments have been using against their enemies for a long time. Just accuse them of being pedophiles, because that tugs at the heartstrings. And we know from the satanic panic that it would work in the United States. Like, that's all the satanic panic was people freaking out about satanic pedophiles at daycare centers. As if a daycare center, one of the stories was that they slaughtered a giraffe. Like, where would they get a giraffe? And how would
that's
you-
some daycare center.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, sounds like a great day at daycare.
Someone's gonna drive by and be like, is that a giraffe? I have so many questions. Wait.
I don't think I've ever seen a giraffe spraying blood before. This is unusual.
Exactly. And like,
that's a big neck to, like, that's a really big neck to slice, you know? Like, holy shit.
It's a lot of neck. You got to get the right part.
If I kill a giraffe, that better be a sacrifice that lasts all year.
Yeah.
That's a big-ass animal.
Hopefully they ate the giraffe. I would hope.
Don't waste that neck meat.
And so, like, even the fact that Trump got elected kind of feels like a honeypot sort of situation to me. I have a quote in the notes. Here we go. In many cases, I probably identify more as Democrat. It just seems that the economy does better under the Democrats than the Republicans. Now, it shouldn't be that way, but if you go back, I mean, it just seems that the economy does better under the Democrats. But we certainly had some very good economies under Democrats, as well as Republicans. But we've had some pretty bad disasters under the Republicans. That is Donald Trump talking to Wolf Blitzer in 2004.
How was
it never brought up a lot?
I think it is one of the underrated things about Trump is that he used to be a Democrat. And
yeah, like the thing about Trump, and I think this is a thing that has kind of gotten accepted and not normalized, but just like people have almost forgotten about it because it is such an ever-present thing. But the maddening thing when Trump started to run for president was people would keep throwing out all of this kind of stuff, and like him calling Republicans stupid and saying that that's why he would run as a Republican, and like him going on Howard Stern. Like people just nonstop for a year go like keep throwing out all this stuff, and he was just Teflon Don. Like he would just, like, you know, it would just bounce off of him. Like, it really is. It was one of the most maddening things that I think has now just kind of gone by the wayside because people are just used to it.
Right. And you have to think about what Donald Trump was to his father. I cannot recommend enough reading the Mary Trump book. She is a clinical psychologist who also grew up with Donald Trump. So the insight you get from that book is fascinating. And she talks a lot about his dad, and what his dad wanted out of his kids was for the girls to leave him alone and not talk to him and not expect any affection or love. And
well, he had never had his cootie shot, so that's just safety.
That's true. And out of his boys, he wanted one of them to become what he called a killer, because Fred Trump lacked personality. He was not a guy that could go out and impose his will on the public. And he wanted one of his sons to be that. He just wanted one of them to be the face of his real estate empire, go out and be an asshole in public when you need to, I'll run everything else. That was Donald Trump's role, and I kind of feel like it's his role now, or it has been for the last 4 years, even if he doesn't realize it. I think that has kind of been what he's here to do, which is, and again, I'm not saying Donald Trump is on some secret mission to destroy white nationalists. I'm saying Donald Trump is meant to pull everyone out and get everyone fighting in the streets, so people in the middle of that can go, can someone just fucking stop this? Like, can I just go have coffee in Seattle with my friends again without walking into a riot? Please stop this. And that is what will happen. We will welcome the government crushing dissent on both sides. Not all of us will be in prison, but everyone else in the middle would be like, oh, finally, things are back to normal. Like, I think that is what at least QAnon is about. And I think
Trump is he's the planned fire. We're going to beg for them to put it out.
Kind of. And like, you even heard Trump when he was campaigning this year. That's what he was campaigning on. He was campaigning on, like, he even used the phrase the silent majority. And the silent majority is a term Nixon coined that referred to people who didn't participate in Vietnam War protests, who weren't a part of the counterculture, and who didn't talk about their political views publicly. You can leave the don't talk about their political views publicly in place and replace the other two with Black Lives Matter protests and socialism. That's going to resonate with a lot of people who will hear, well, I don't want to be a white nationalist. I don't want to be a socialist. If I say either of those things, someone's going to murder me. So I just want that entire situation to go away. That is always who America is working for. The people who want things to stay exactly as they are.
They play by the rules, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Status quo.
They're not the non-troublemakers.
Yeah.
And I kind of...
The losers. Losers, honestly.
Yeah. They're too cool to pick a club. Join something.
Yeah. Seriously. You got to get that credit. Come on.
Like it.
They're on the sideline.
It almost feels like kind of a social experiment. Like these people that storm the Capitol, I've brought this up before. They spent the entire summer cheering over a law that says if you desecrate a national monument or a government building, it's a 10-year prison sentence. And what's the first thing they do the minute Trump loses? They go storm a government building without wearing masks. And it's like, you wanted that law, and now you're going to go to prison over it.
Well, Adam, the law wasn't for them, not for them.
Yeah,
not for them.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. That's the naivety of these people, believing any part of the American government had their best interest in mind. And here's the thing. I don't feel bad about it. I want them to walk into this trap. It is what they deserve.
I will say, I just as just a little bit of pushback, not too much, because I do think that there's a lot of real validity to all of this and like real things to think about. But I do want to say, we trend too close to giving a little bit too much credit to the American people, just in general as a group, especially the people who are angry and dumb enough to be right wing people. Like, I don't think that they need a lot of, if any, outside influence to stay mad and hateful even while they're in power. I think that that is just in their like personality. They just like to be mad. They don't have any other way to operate.
Right.
So,
but if you're the American government, do you want that? Do you just want that to fester forever until they get bold enough to do something like this as a surprise? Or do you want to be like, fuck it, let's do it.
And like I said, I'm not saying that the government doesn't have any sort of hand in pushing along some of these things. But I do think that they would rather deal with those people, because those people, as we've said, when it comes to just how they even treated the Capitol building itself and the premises, those people have a natural subservience to authority that the people on the left do not have. Even the people who want a strong central government, like, I want a strong central government, but I am still a pretty strong anti-authoritarian type of person. And that is a lot more of an unruly kind of person to deal with than a group of people who, as long as you are fucking with the people that they hate, are going to basically go along with anything you want, regardless.
Right. Yeah,
I think they're mostly just mad. Like, a lot of the anger and the reason why they didn't have any demands when they got to the floor of the Senate or anything is because all they really wanted was an assurance that things will still continue to be bad for the people that they hate.
Oh, definitely. And I think that's kind of the tension that will keep them coming out over the next few years. Because here's the thing. We're going to get criminal justice reform of some sort. Like, Biden has to do it. There is absolutely no way, but there's also no way we're going to just let our private prisons be empty. Like,
but I will say, like, but it's just so, again, it's just so funny that they're too stupid to see when they've got it good, because we might get criminal justice reform under Biden, but there is no chance of it being criminal justice reform that would not benefit those same people who were storming the Capitol. Like, there's just no way. It'll only be to their benefit.
Right, but these are the same people who cheered for a law and then blatantly broke it.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. They're very stupid. They're very dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
Like stupid, dumb, angry people. But it's just that. But that's kind of my point. Is like, if they would just like settle down a little bit and like actually look at the reality of who is about to enter office, they would have a lot less to be super upset about. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, look up Biden's record, you idiots.
Yeah, honestly, it's not like the left hasn't been shoving it in their face for like a year and a half. Like, they, all they would have to do is listen to us, but no, they hate us, so they can't do that. But if they would just listen to the leftists, they would know that Biden is actually kind of their guy. They probably really like him if they actually listen to him.
I think coronavirus is going to put the country in a similar situation to this, because right now with this insurrection happening, a lot of people who don't trust the police have to kind of trust the police. Like, I read an article about a girl who was she's a Black Lives Matter activist. She didn't want to be named because within her group, you don't call the police. But she was also seeing all this shit saying, well, we're going to attack the Capitol on January 6th. We're going to kill activists. We're going to kill. And she was like, fuck it. I'm going to call the FBI. And of course, the FBI didn't do anything. But I feel like coronavirus is going to be that next thing where people on the left, like, I don't want to put a government app on my phone, but I also want to be able to leave the house at some point. And I don't doubt that if coronavirus gets bad enough, the government will be like, yeah, you can leave the house. Do you have that pass that shows you've been vaccinated?
It's what South Korea did and that sort of thing. Like, yeah. Mm.
Not everyone's going to want that vaccine.
Well, no, obviously. No, I mean, it's...
And then what happens?
Whole,
do people just
the
not...
The problem with America.
Are people just not allowed to leave the house?
Yeah. I mean, well, no, because what's going to happen is we're going to go back to business as usual. All the businesses are going to open up like normal. People are going to go back to work normally. All the shelter in place orders are going to go away, and people are just going to keep dying every day in the thousands, the tens of thousands. And we're just going to pretend like it's not happening, because that's the easiest way to get back to normal.
Quick note about the vaccine. My girl is in the medical field, so they have the option of getting the vaccine, but we did some research into it. There actually is, it can cause complications in fertility in women.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, that's, I mean, anything like this, like, that's, I mean, that is just a thing for public health. Like, any sort of massive public health program that is being rolled out this fast, like the fact that we even have a shitty vaccine this fast, is just kind of a testament to how dire the whole COVID situation is, because those things take fucking years to make.
Yeah,
like every vaccine, even for very pressing like diseases. So like, yeah, I think these first few vaccines are gonna have those kinds of like side effects, and it's just going to have to be a case where the possible like negative side effects are going, you have to decide whether they outweigh the possibility of catching COVID or giving COVID to your friends or relatives. It's right. And I don't know that every American, I mean, obviously every American won't make the same decision, and they won't necessarily be wrong, but at the same time, it's just tough. Like, if our government had handled this at all in the entire last year, then maybe we wouldn't be put in these kinds of situations where we have to make those decisions. But yeah, it fucking sucks.
Yeah. And what I think a similar thing is going to happen, especially if Biden takes office and puts a national lockdown in place, because we're already seeing anti-mask protests. Like, even in LA, people are showing up at malls and just like getting in people's faces and being like, ooga booga, and like not wearing masks. Yeah, it's happening in LA a bunch. It's happening all over the country. And again, what these people don't realize, like, pay attention to what your president is doing. In April of 2020, Trump and his Department of Justice passed a law that makes intentionally spreading coronavirus an act of bioterrorism.
Oh, I don't like that. That's
so
not good.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When it happened, people on the left were like, "Ooh."
Now, what qualifies as spreading it on purpose? Like, Just not wearing a mask?
That like,
that's not how these laws work.
As a person of Arab descent, I am immediately terrified whenever somebody makes a law like that. That is immediately a red flag for me.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of just outright declaring that someone is a terrorist. That's not good.
And the law says if you do it, you can be charged as a terrorist. And I think all these anti-mask fucks who think Donald Trump is on their side don't realize that law was passed. And so the minute there is a national lockdown, there's going to be another insurrection where all these anti-mask types take to the streets and fucking law and order happy Joe Biden is going to be like, get in prison, bub. It's a bunch of malarkey you're doing.
And you cannot do malarkey around Joe Biden.
And who's going to be mad? Who would be mad? Or is anyone going to be mad?
I would not be happy about anything like that personally. But I will say it is just America is just so shitty and bad. Like those are very basic and elementary things to say. But like what a stupid country. If we had just fucking shut everything down and just paid businesses to stay closed and pay people to stay home, then half of this dissent and half of this outright problems wouldn't even be happening. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like,
yeah, but after it,
they're just giving themselves problems by following these shitty principles.
Right. But immediately after it happened, all your favorite leftist podcasts let Mark Cuban come on and tell the world that that's not what we should do.
Well, I don't have any favorite leftist podcasts, so I don't know what you're referring to.
He made the rounds on podcasts right after coronavirus started. He went on a bunch of podcasts and was like, oh, we got to do
any leftist podcast that has Mark Cuban on is no longer a leftist podcast. Like, I'm sorry. That is, you correct. Just relinquished your card.
I'll never have dinner with the president.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, the government really shot themselves in the foot with this whole coronavirus thing. Because if they were purposely trying to build dissent, like a manageable dissent that could then be, you know, fired against the other side, leaving a state where the centrists can live in their peaceful gray utopia. Like if that was their intention, then they did a really shitty job of it this year because,
oh, well, I don't,
all they needed to do was give people money and it would have been a lot more manageable.
Yeah. I'm not saying that, like, I want to make it really clear. I'm not saying that the government created COVID and
spread it intentionally. I'm not saying that either.
But I 100% think COVID is an opportunity the government, or is a thing a lot of governments saw as an opportunity as much as it was a crisis. And I feel like one of the positive side effects for the man who's trying to hold people down when it comes to coronavirus is there is going to be this point where people who are clearly like some of the most radicalized people in the country, because they're willing to go out and ignore science in the middle of a pandemic to prove their point. Like, this government doesn't want those people in place, man. They will happily round them up and arrest them for taking to the streets if there's a national lockdown.
But if they didn't want them doing that, then they should have paid them money to stay home. Like,
what do you think is worse? Taking advantage of a situation or creating a situation to take advantage of?
I mean, worse, I don't know. But I do think that taking advantage of a situation is for real the government playbook, and has been the government playbook in every country for years. Like, I mean, that's the classic, I believe, Churchill line, which is never let a good crisis go to waste, which was then said by the Bush administration on 9/11 regarding Iraq, and was said in by Rahm Emanuel regarding the economic crisis in 2008. Like, that is a for real government mantra, is never let a good crisis go to waste. And I think that explains just as much as any sort of like purposeful action on the part of the government to build any of these movements.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, even if this, like everything I laid out here, wasn't an active plot or like a plan on the part of the government, there is no question that the events that happened along the way, they took advantage of kind of in the way I described. Like,
absolutely.
Either way, I just feel like somehow anti-government activists starting in the early 90s allowed them to be duped into what's happening right now. All of that, like setting up your Facebook groups and being a fucking asshole online, like all of it is going to culminate into you literally walking into prison. Like, like it's going, and like, if it gets super duper out of hand, it's going to culminate in the government taking guns. Like,
yeah, I mean, the government should just take guns anyway.
Because
if you're going to use a gun to protect yourself from government tyranny, then why do you care whether it's legal to begin with?
Right, but those aren't the only people who have guns. Like,
No. That's what I'm saying is, like, if it, you know, I've got no problem with strict gun laws because the people who you want to use guns to defend yourself against are the government.
Oh, fuck those motherfuckers too. Like, I'm not talking about.
So just use illegal guns. Like, I'm just saying, like, just get illegal guns.
Well, that's what that's the point, though. The government's going to go after illegal guns too. And
they should already, technically.
Yeah, but you know what that's going to look like, right? That's us saying, hey, can you send that militarized police force into black and brown neighborhoods to just go door to door and get all the guns?
Yeah,
the residents will love it. It'll be fine. It's quite a conundrum.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm aware of that dilemma in particular. But yeah, I don't have too much of the moral gumption about the guns thing. It's the other stuff that's slightly more concerning.
What about this? What if we all get guns?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's literally what I'm saying. Like, I think we should all have guns.
Just guns for everyone.
Just not legal, but just not legal ones.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Like, I mean, how else am I going to defend myself when these fucking crazy Trump people that live around me decide to act up and come after me? You know, I'm not going to be using a legal gun against them.
Certainly not.
That's just the most baffling thing, that this crowd that started out as, well, we have to have guns to keep us safe from a tyrannical government, have done this 180 over the past couple decades to where they're now like, oh, we love the government so much. Oh my God.
Yeah.
President Trump. Are you kidding me? President Trump? Like, that's the government we want forever. And it's like, why? Because you think you can say the N-word in public? Like, you're willing to give up all your ideals for that? And it's like, yeah, we sure are. Yeah, that's
absolutely perfect. I'm excited to do it.
Oh my God.
That's the thing, is like, that's why I kind of said that up top, is like, the actual militias and groups who are fully anti-government are, I think, a lot smaller of a voice now than they used to be in the 90s, definitely. Because they were definitely huge in the 90s. That's like, McVeigh and the Unabomber and all these guys who were just hardcore anti-government. I think that is a little passé now. I think it's much more, we want to be an authoritarian, but our size authoritarian.
Right.
Not you guys. You guys don't get it. Only us. I think that's the main motivating factor. I mean, like, obviously there are still the anti-government types trying to, like, get in and make their moves, but, yeah.
Man, crazy times.
Truly, truly crazy.
But, and again, I'm not saying the government has been on a crusade of good to rid the country of bigots. I just think they want to get rid of dissent altogether. And
I think you're pro government. I think you want to hug and kiss the government. I think you love them.
Because that's the thing I brought up on the Unpops pod yesterday too, is that even if there's this big clash and we see the government just like mowing people down, like, do we then trust the government to not just do the same thing when there's a Black Lives Matter protest? I sure don't. And when they do, they'll be like, you cheered for it last time. And we'll be like, but that was different. And they'll be like, turns out it wasn't.
That's why I'm not cheering about any of the F. Like, that's why I don't agree with the people who are trying to narc to the FBI about these people. I think that is morally reprehensible if you're a if you're a leftist or a liberal. And, you know, I just they'll get what's coming to them eventually by one way or another or whatever. But the FBI are not your friends just because they happen to be going after people that you don't like right now. And I don't, but I do think that they, you know, these fringe right wing groups, you know, they think that they've got a lot of the cops and the military on their side. And honestly, I don't disagree with them. I don't really think that they are necessarily wrong. I think that maybe a lot of, I think there's more people in those positions who agree, than maybe, people realize, and that I don't think it would come to, if it's just the right-wing people, you know, like doing something like they did on the at the Capitol, or doing something bigger, or I don't even know what it could possibly be. I don't think it'll come down to a shootout with the government and these right-wing people. I don't think that it'll happen. I think it'll, they won't go that far. They just want to.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I also think the government would be more than happy to let those people think that. Like the, here's the thing. The military's just not all going to be QAnon. Like, QAnon is still a very fringe belief. No. Scientology is huge, and by that we mean there's 25,000 Scientologists in the United States. Like, there's probably more QAnon people than that, but even then... Yeah. You have to carve out the police and the military from the idiots who just think they're LARPing or whatever the fuck. Yeah.
But I also don't think that QAnon people necessarily make up even the majority of the people who want took action at the Capitol or want to take action like that.
Right.
Again, I think that the QAnon people, I didn't see, like, I saw a little, some Q things like scattered throughout the crowd, but it was mostly the "Don't Tread on Me" flag and the Trump flag and that sort of thing. But I do think that, you know, the government is just, I think if the last year and plus has proved anything, it's that the government is incredibly stupid and incompetent in a lot of ways. So I don't know. I hesitate to assign too much strategizing, at least domestic strategizing, to them is the thing.
So do you think Joe Biden is going to die at the inauguration?
I have no idea. This is why I was just saying about predictions. I have no fucking idea. I do think the inauguration day is going to be interesting to watch. I think that if you think that nothing is going to happen on that day, then you are hopelessly naive. But I could never predict what is going to happen. He could just have a William Henry Harrison term, and that's it. Like, that's just it. That's his max. Who knows?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I thought we already settled this. As long as the velvet ropes are there, he's gonna do great.
Exactly. Fine. This is the thing. I hope that the Biden administration, the future Biden administration, is listening to this podcast. And if they are, I'm not gonna suck up to you like I did to the World Order and the aliens. But you should take the idea about the velvet ropes, because I think that is dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they clearly respect him a lot. They've probably never seen him.
No, they're all fucking stockholders and business people. Like, they've seen a velvet rope or two.
Yeah,
they know the rules.
All right. Well, I think that's our episode. This was a long one. Thank you both. I appreciate it. Yeah,
this is fun.
No problem, man.
Do we have anything to plug before we get out of here? Patreon.com/unpops, unpopsnetwork.supercast.tech. That's all I got. Sliceberg, what do you got?
I am with a new company now. It's called Waxfly. It is a record delivery service. They will send you a package of 5 to 6 records a month. If you sign up for an annual plan, use my name, Sliceberg Slim, you will get 5% off your subscription price. But they're pretty cool, though. They send you a lot of good records once a month. You can listen to them, use them, make music, do whatever. It's good for DJs, music enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Producers.
So is it just like random records, or do you pick the ones they send you?
No, totally random. So it's like, you never know.
Huh.
Other day I got a record from, I got a Jackie Gleason record. I got the soundtrack to All in the Family. Just some wild shit. It's pretty cool, though.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Waxfly.com.
Nice.
Okay.
Olivia, do you got anything to plug?
You know, not really. I'm on Twitter at Hi There Hydar. I do these podcasts occasionally. I got another thing in the works, kind of working on. So hopefully, maybe next time I'm on, I'll have something a little more to plug. But for now, that's it.
All right, let's get out of here. Olivia, say goodbye.
Bye.
Sliceberg, say goodbye.
See you guys. Have a good one.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.